It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve from 1952. But right now, a 1948 broadcast of My Friend Irma. From November 29th of that year, it's the Costume Party episode from CBS, starring Marie Wilson and Joan Banks.
Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship when other friendships have been forgotten. Theirs will still be hot.
And all the birds have migrated south where they'll remain until spring. Which reminds me of the girl I live with, Irma Peterson. Not that she's gone south, because she's right here with me in New York City. She may be here, but believe me, her brain is in Miami. Now, don't misunderstand. I love her. And there's really nothing wrong with her except that... Well, for instance, the other day I was reading the paper and I said, Irma.
Yes, Jane.
This is very interesting. It says here that soybeans have 1,001 uses. They're even using them to make paint with.
Soybeans? Gosh, that must make the paint awfully lumpy.
Yep, that's my Irma. A living contradiction to the scientific theory that no one can live in a vacuum. Oh, well. She's still my roommate, and I'll stick up for her anytime. Right now, we're both in the apartment, and everything is quite normal, I think. Oh, no, it isn't. Irma is covering up the calendar with her hand. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
Why are you covering the calendar with your hand?
It's a secret.
What do you mean, secret?
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Well, why the whispering?
I want to give myself a surprise party.
Oh, no. Look, honey, no one ever surprises themselves.
Oh, yes, they do. Remember the time I added up 8 and 8?
Yeah.
And I got 16?
Yes.
Well, wasn't I surprised?
That was an accident. But about your birthday party, honey, you don't have to go around whispering because I've already made plans for the day.
Plans?
Yes, honey, I'm giving you a birthday party, and I've invited all our friends.
Oh, Jane, it's so sweet of you. You're the best friend a girl ever had.
Well, thank you, honey.
Sometimes I wish you were twins. Then if one of you got married, I could still go on living with the one that got jilted.
That's a nice thought. For journey's end. Now, here, sweetie, here's the list of names I invited to your party.
Oh, let me see. Oh, Mrs. O'Reilly and Professor Kropotkin. Oh, and Richard Rhinelander and the Martins and Al. Oh, Jane, I wish you hadn't sent Al an invitation.
Why, don't you want him to come to your birthday party?
Yes, but I'd rather have him think it was a Halloween party. I don't want him to know I'm getting any older.
Don't be foolish, Irma.
Well, you know what they say. A girl should always marry a man older than she is, and I'm afraid I'll lose Al.
That's ridiculous. Al must be at least 3 years older than you are.
But he won't be if I keep on having birthdays.
Oh, Irma, stop worrying. Besides, I can't understand what you see in that unemployment bench warmer.
Oh, Jane, you don't know the real Al. I'll admit he doesn't work and he has no ambition. But to me, he's the man of my dreams, and I hope he never wakes up.
You know, I think you'll get your wish. Now, tell me, honey, do you okay this invitation list as is?
Oh, it's fine, Jane, but I would like to invite one more person.
Who, some friend of yours?
No, some friend of yours. Richard's mother.
Mrs. Rhinelander?
Oh, I know she's society and lives on Park Avenue, but she seemed to like me the 2 times she was here before.
Oh, but honey, I don't know how to explain it, but, well, Mrs. Rhinelander's always so busy with her high social affairs, like charity bazaars, horse shows, riding to the hounds.
Yes, I know, and shooting grouches.
Grouches?
Yes, those little fat ducks.
Irma, that's grouch. Honey, that's not what I mean. It's just that, well, frankly, I wouldn't know how to go about asking her.
Well, couldn't you ask Richard to invite her?
Well, I don't know, honey. Richard and I have only just started seeing each other again, and oh, no, Irma, it's preposterous.
Oh, try, Jane.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little ballet dancers. One on her toes, the other still spinning. Excuse me, a little joke I picked up. Oh, what difference does it make?
Why, Professor?
Well, girls, I received the invitation to Irma's party tomorrow night, and I was wondering, would you like I should bring my fiddle? Maybe you'll want to have dance.
Oh, that'd be swell, Professor. Have you decided what kind of costume you're going to wear?
Costume?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, sweetie. I thought we should make your birthday a little different this year, so I decided it's going to be a costume affair.
Oh, well, I was thinking I would come as a sea captain, Janie, because every time I walk into my room, I feel as though I've gone down with the ship.
I wonder what I should wear. Maybe I'll come as Pocahontas. Then Al could come as John Smith and save my life. What are you going to wear, Jane?
Well, I thought I'd like to come as Joan of Arc.
Oh, I see. Then Richard could come as Noah.
Sweetie, you've got the wrong Ark, but the right idea.
Irma, darling, I want to get you something nice for your birthday. And since I'm an old friend, I want you should tell me what you'd like.
Oh, Professor, you don't have to bring me a present. You work hard for your money, and as they say it, it isn't the gift, it's the value.
I know what you mean. It's the thought behind it.
Yes, yeah, so why don't you save your money and just give me the thought behind it?
Never mind, I'll think of something nice. Tell me, Janie, is Mrs. O'Reilly coming to the party?
Well, I sent her an invitation. Why do you ask?
Well, I just want to be prepared. I think I'll come as a straw man, so when that old crow shows up, I can scare her away from me.
Look, Professor, will you do me a favor?
Janie, for you, anything in the world.
All right. Then at the party, try to be nice to Mrs. O'Reilly.
All right, Janie, but it's a cruel world. And speaking of cruelty, I think I'll go back to that torture chamber I call my room. Goodbye, girl.
Well, all right, Irma, let's not waste time. I want to straighten this room up.
Well, I'll help you, Jane.
Okay, but only with the understanding that you stop sweeping things under the rug. All our furniture is standing at an angle. Why don't you use the Hoover vacuum cleaner?
Because the Democrats won this year, and I didn't think it was patriotic.
Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Got your invitation, chicken, and want you to know I'm getting you the best present Tiffany's can offer.
Oh, Al, from Tiffany?
Yeah, just as soon as my latest deal comes through.
Oh, not another deal. What is it this time? Putting straps on beer bottle caps and selling them for wristwatches?
No, would conflict with prevailing patents. Now, this one is a special device for thugs who attend a hottie. It's a blackjack with built-in band-aids. So when the victim is slugged, he automatically gets first date. Pretty creative, don't you think?
Oh, it's great. Jane, you've got to admit it. Al is one who is always on his toes.
That's only because his landlady has locked him out and he's trying to get in through the transom.
Ignore her, chicken. What plans you made for your party?
Oh, gee, I'm so excited. What are you going to wear, Al?
Well, that's not my problem. Got something else on my mind. And in that case, there's only one man to call.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe? Al, got a problem. Tomorrow is Irma's birthday. Want to get her a gift. What do you got? Uh-huh. 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 Mm-hmm. Brass knuckles?
Oh, no, Al. No costume jewelry.
What else, Joe? A beautiful miniature of Abraham Lincoln? Hey, where'd you get it, Joe? Oh, you just finished printing some $5 bills.
Any day now, they're going to take our phone out.
Please, Jane, I'm talking to a gentleman. Say, Joe, I think I'll run over and see Dallinger, the jeweler. Hey, what do you mean he's all tied up? Oh, your boy's just left him and he's all tied up. Well, I'll be over anyway. Thank you and goodbye, noble friend. Come on, chicken, I want you to help me pick out your gift.
All right, Al.
Come in.
Hello, Jane.
Oh, Richard, of all people, is anything wrong?
Oh, not at all. I just wanted to check this invitation I received to Irma's birthday party. It says costume party.
Well, what about it?
Are you kidding, Jane?
No, Richard. You've got to wear a costume.
Oh, fine. And at this late hour. Well, I'll think of something. I know. I'll wear a jailbird outfit.
Oh, Richard.
Then if the income tax man comes to question me, I can go with him without changing clothes.
Oh, sweet joke. Richard, I've just got a thought. Irma wants me to... Oh, Richard, it's preposterous, but... Well, Richard, do you think that your mother would come to Irma's birthday party?
Why, I'm sure she would, Jane. Mother's very fond of you, and she says Irma's the most refreshing child she's ever met. I'll tell her she's welcome.
Oh, more than welcome, Richard.
And as for you, young lady, when are you coming back to work for me as my secretary?
Well, I'm thinking about it, but there are a lot of problems involved.
Oh, there are there? Well, maybe this will eliminate some of them.
Richard, you're bribing me.
Not a bad bribe, was it?
No. I've kind of got the feeling that the overtime work could be fun. Well, I'll see you at the party, Richard. Good night.
Good night, Jane.
Jane? Well, she's not here, Al.
Hey, chicken, look at this note on the table. It's from Jane.
Well, what's it say?
Irma, Mrs. Rhinelander is coming to your party.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Just a second, chicken. Do not think this is fair. You and Jane inviting your friend? Why can't I have a friend of mine to the party? Show him what a swell gal I got.
Oh, I guess that'd be all right, Al. Who did you wish to invite?
There is only one man I would invite.
Who, Al?
Who else but Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, he's a regular guy, and he wants to meet you. I admit, if you want references about him, you have to go to the police station. But Joe's a pretty lonely guy. He don't get out much. And when he does, he's trailed.
But Mrs. Rhinelander is coming, and I don't know how she and Joe will get along. What will Jane think?
No one has to know Joe is here. He'll be wearing a disguise and a mask.
Okay, Al. Tonight, the upper world will mix with the underworld. Gee, maybe I better not come.
Why not, chicken?
Because everybody says I'm out of this world.
Well, here it is, the night of the party, and since Richard is coming, I want to have everything he likes. Now, let's see. He likes Paul Masson champagne, a mild cigar, and strong coffee. Of course, with Al, there's no problem. Al likes anything he can get as long as it's for nothing. As for Irma, she, too, has been contributing her best efforts. First, she baked a cake, and I must say it came out very well. Then she covered it with frosting, which looked very nice. A little later, when I looked at it, Irma had lettered, "Happy Birthday," very beautifully across the top in large raised letters. I didn't know what she used to make the lettering until I happened to notice two empty tubes of Pepsodent next to the cake. Irma.
Yes, Jane?
Tell me something. Did you use Pepsodent for this lettering instead of frosting?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, frosting always gives me cavities, and Pepsodent is good for the teeth.
With that remark, I sent Irma out for ice cream and called Mrs. O'Reilly to help me get things ready. Is everything on the table, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Yes, Janie. Is there anything else I can do?
No, and thanks a million. You've been a wonderful help.
Oh, glad to do it, Janie. By the way, do you have any strong glue?
Yes, there's a tube right there on the shelf.
Oh, thank you. I need it for my new eyelashes. You know, there's an awful lot of winking to be done at these parties, and I don't want any accidents.
Well, I'm sure we'll all have a good time. And I do hope you and the professor will get along.
Oh, I hope so too, Janie. If I do say so, I have quite a crush on the man.
Sure. The professor just likes to tease you.
Oh, maybe so, Janie. Oh, I understand Richard will be at the party.
Yes, and he's bringing his mother. I hope it'll be a nice party and that nothing goes wrong.
Oh, Jane. Oh, Miss O'Reilly.
Irma, didn't you pick up the ice cream I ordered?
Well, I didn't want to take it because there was something wrong with it. It was smoking.
sweetie, that's from the dry ice it's packed in.
Dry ice? Oh, I thought it tasted funny for ice cream. You want me to go back?
No, I'll have them deliver it. Irma, you said something about a surprise guest coming this evening. Who is it?
Oh, 5 feet two, eyes of blue, kitty-kitty-coo, kitty-coo-coo.
Irma, I'm in no mood for charades. Who is it?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, Jane, it's getting late. We better get into our costumes.
My goodness, it is getting late. I'd better get right upstairs and get into my costume.
Well, what are you coming as, Miss O'Reilly?
Well, I felt that I'd like to wear something Spanish. So I asked the professor for a suggestion. And he said I should come as a hacienda. Jeannie, what's a hacienda?
Why, that's a large house.
Oh, wait till I get me hands on him. No wonder he said I had a perfect veranda for it.
At the party. The festivities are underway, and the little apartment really looks very gala. People are coming in wearing the most unusual costumes, and with everyone wearing masks, it's impossible to tell who is who. Irma, I recognize. She's wearing a little girl's dress and carrying a piece of meat in her hand. Irma, who are you supposed to be?
I couldn't find any sheep, so I'm Little Mary Had a Lamb Chop.
Great. And the professor I recognize, he's dressed as Satan. Professor, what made you pick the costume of Satan?
Well, I thought it would be appropriate since the room I live in reminds me of Devil's Island.
Oh, here comes someone in a very unique costume, an old witch.
Hello, Jane.
Why, Mrs. Rhinelander, I didn't recognize you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's just grand seeing you and Irma again. Happy birthday, Irma, dear, and many of them.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Rhinelander, and many of them to you.
Well, I'd rather not think of it. After all, I'm 17.
Gee, you don't look as old as the Gettysburg Address.
Irma. I know what you mean. Oh, and Richard, look at you in a policeman's uniform.
Well, it was all I could get at the last minute.
Oh, well, this should be fun. Maybe later on I'll wind up in the arms of the law.
Yes, and maybe you'll get a life sentence. You know what I mean?
Tell me, Irma, where's Al?
Oh, he's late, and gee, I can't understand it. He generally arrives the same time the food does.
Well, I wonder what can be detaining him. Hello?
Hello, Jane?
Al, why aren't you here at the party?
I'm across the street in the drugstore. Been watching your window and do not like what I'm seeing. You got a mean streak in you.
Well, what do you mean?
What's the idea of inviting a cop to the party?
Cop? Oh, Al, that's Richard.
That guy always did have a sadistic sense of humor. Of course, ain't got nothing personal against cops. It's just that they have made all my friends exclusive. I gotta get a pass to see him. So either Richard takes off that uniform or I don't come in.
Well, hold it, Al.
Anything wrong, Jane?
Oh, this is unbelievable. Al says the sight of your uniform unnerves him and he won't come in unless you take it off.
Al won't be here. Oh, without Al, it won't be a birthday party. I might just as well not have been born.
Now, don't cry, Irma. If Al feels that way, the solution is simple. Jane. Do you have a sheet?
Why, yes, Richard. What for?
I'll take this cap and jacket off and wrap the sheet around me. And with a towel turban, I'll be the Sheik of Araby.
Oh, Richard, that's so sweet of you. Now all you need is a camel. You know, one of those horses with the two gas tanks.
Well, now, just a minute. Al, Richard is going to change his costume, so hurry over. Goodbye. Oh, Richard, you're wonderful. You can change right in that room. Oh, Professor, looking for something?
Look, she's here. Mrs. O'Reilly.
Why, Professor, that witch is Mrs. Rhinelander.
Irma.
Mrs. Rhinelander? Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought it was Mrs. O'Reilly without a costume.
No, Professor, that's Mrs. O'Reilly over there in that Spanish costume. The one you just finished dancing with.
How do you like that? And I thought that heavy veil over her face was supposed to give her an air of mystery. It just shows you can never tell a book by its cover.
And here I almost started reading a horror story.
Mrs. Rhinelander, may I be honored with this dance?
Yes, Professor, I was waiting for you to ask me. Oh, the radio's playing a zumba. Can you dance to this music?
Why not? Don't you think I know a waltz when I hear it?
Oh, Irma, isn't she sweet?
Yes. And just think, someday you and Richard will be married and you'll have a baby and she'll be your grandmother.
Yes, Irma.
Miss Stacy.
Oh, look, another policeman. You weren't invited.
I know. I want to talk with you two. Step into the kitchen here.
Now, look here, officer. This is a private party. I don't know what's going
Stacy,
on here,
I'm
but...
I'm from headquarters. We got a tip. There's a character here named Joe.
Joe? Irma? Is that Al's friend, Joe?
I won't talk. I'm no stupid pigeon.
Lady, we have nothing against Joe except that we want him for questioning. I don't know what disguise he's wearing, so I'll just go out there and mosey around.
Irma Peterson, how could you invite that character?
Well, Al begged me, and when he does that, it brings out the mother in me. I couldn't turn down my own son. I mean,
can't you realize the humiliation we're facing? Richard is here, Mrs. Rhinelander. We'll all be taken away in the police wagon.
Why?
Why? Honey, let me explain to you. Joe is... Well, in the vernacular, Joe is hot.
Oh, that's silly. How can he be hot when Al says he just got out of the cooler?
Irma, you don't understand. Richard will never talk to me again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane.
Sorry? You're always sorry. You were sorry the time you put peroxide in the turkey dressing because I said I liked white meat. You were sorry the time you dipped my lipstick into molasses because I said I wanted to be sweet to Richard. You're always sorry. Now they're coming for us. Come in.
Hey, Jane, what's the idea of double-crossing me? Richard is still wearing that uniform.
I've got news for you, Al. That's not Richard. That policeman is the real McCoy, and he's looking for your friend, Joe.
Joe? Holy mackerel, excuse me.
Irma, what are you doing?
Oh, Al says all they serve in jail is bread and water. I'm making some sandwiches.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving. Oh, Jane, this is the most delightful party. Really, it's too bad it's not going to be written up in the newspapers. It still may be. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Rhinelander. Now, look, Irma, crying won't help. We've got to face the music.
Oh, I'm not thinking of that. I'm just heartbroken about Al.
Al, what about him?
Well, look at him dancing with that tall, shapely blonde.
Where? Oh, yes. I noticed Richard give her the eye, too.
He's hugging her. Now he's squeezing her hand. Oh, I hate all men. I despise them. If I was president, I'd pass a law making all men illegal, even on holidays.
Pull yourself together, Irma. They're coming this way.
I won't even talk to him.
Good night, chicken. Lovely party. Happy birthday. I'm taking Miss Delilah home. Come, my pet.
Oh, yes.
Don't cry, honey. It's all you can expect of someone like him. I'm surprised this hasn't happened before.
Delilah? I hate that name. It was a Delilah who ruined Napoleon.
Honey, Delilah was Samson's sweetheart.
Oh, she probably ran around with everybody. I hate men. I'm through with them. I'm going to take that piece of wedding cake I've had under my pillow for 3 months and eat it. I'm through.
Now, don't get hysterical, honey.
Oh, it's you, Al.
Yeah, change my plans, chicken. Just put Delilah in a cab and send her home.
Well, you should have gone home with her the way you were drooling over her.
Well, she's a pretty snappy number. To coin a phrase, Delilah is hot in 6 states. You see, chicken, Delilah is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, had to get him out of here. That policeman was on the make, so to speak. And Joe don't like the way them guys pinch.
Oh, Al, now I understand. And all the time I thought, oh, I'll never doubt you again.
That's the spirit, chicken. And to make your birthday party something you'll never forget, I'm going to give you a kiss for every year. How old are you, chicken?
Oh, what's the difference? You start kissing me, time will fly.
And you know something? That's a silly remark, because if there's one person who doesn't know what time it is, it's my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma on Tuned to Yesterday from November 28, 1948 on CBS. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Next, it's The Great Gildersleeve from July 30th, 1952 on NBC. A bit different from most big shows that were on the air, not broadcasting through the summer season, whereas Gildersleeve did. And at a time where television was attracting radio listeners to the small screen, the Gildersleeve audience still held strong with over 8 million tuned in Wednesday nights at 8:30. Willard Waterman stars.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. It looks like the good old days at the Great Gildersleeve's house. Marjorie and Bronco are having some painting done in their house next door, so they're spending a few days with the water commissioner.
By George, it's good to have the kids back again. I hope they like the little room.
They ought to, Mr. Gildersleeve. You sure fixed it up nice for them.
Yeah, but it's sure rough on Elmer.
Elmer?
Yeah, my pet turtle. He doesn't have the run of the upstairs like he used to. I think it's got him worried.
A turtle with claustrophobia. Come on, Leroy, let's go work in the yard for a while.
Aren't you going to the office, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, I thought I'd wait around until Marjorie and Bronco come down. I didn't get a chance to talk to them much last night.
No, sir.
Who did? All I can say is, Marjorie, darling. Bronco, darling. Marjorie, darling. Bronco, darling. They're worse than before they were married.
Now, Leroy.
I thought they'd quit that mushy stuff after the honeymoon. They've been married a couple of years.
Well, if I know them two, they'll be on a honeymoon for a lot more years.
Yeah, I hope so. Come along, Leroy.
What are we going to do, Unc?
Well, we might burn the rubbish for Bertie.
Oh, boy, look at the pile.
Yeah, pretty big, all right.
Let me light it, Unc.
Yeah, go ahead, my boy.
There she goes.
Yeah. Pretty damp. Gonna smoke a lot.
Breeze will keep it going. Hey, look, we're laying down a smoke screen.
It's blowing right across the street to Bullard's house. The bedroom windows are open. I wonder if Bullard's up.
He will be. Hey, Unc, how about tossing this old rubber tire on the fire?
No, Leroy.
Why not? We can't help it if the breeze blows the smoke over there. That's Mother Nature at work.
Maybe this wasn't a good idea. Bullard might think we're doing it on purpose.
So what? He doesn't like you and you don't like him.
No, Leroy, it isn't that we don't like each other. We just don't get along. It wouldn't surprise me if he comes over here and tries to start something.
Gildersleeve!
Zeke, here he comes.
Let's run, Unc.
No, Leroy, we'll stand our ground. It's ours.
Gildersleeve, what are you up to now?
Oh, Mr. Bullard. Good morning. Nice morning, isn't it?
I don't know. I can't see it for smoke.
Smoke? Oh, it is a little smoky, isn't it?
Gildersleeve, haven't you any consideration for other people?
Oh, yes.
It was out of consideration for you, Mr. Bullard, that we didn't burn this rubber tire.
Thank heaven for that. Gildersleeve, how in the lottery of life did I draw you for a neighbor?
Well, he's... see here, Bullard. I might ask you the same thing.
You just waited until the wind was right to burn rubbish.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, he didn't.
You keep out of this, Leroy. No, I didn't.
Well, whether you did it on purpose or not, it was a stupid thing to do.
Oop. Careful who you call stupid. I'm a public official. I'm the water commissioner.
Gildersleeve, if you fool with me, I'll buy the water department and cut off your water.
Oh,
good day, nincompoop.
That does it. Leroy, burn the tire.
Won't you have some breakfast with us, Unky?
No, thanks, Marjorie. Leroy and I have eaten.
I can eat again.
Leroy. Leave something for Marjorie and Bronco.
Oh, Leroy's like me. He can always eat. Pass the toast, Marge, honey.
Here, dear.
Mr. Gildersleeve, what was all the noise out in the backyard?
Noise?
Unc was just exchanging pleasantries with a neighbor.
Yes. Well, what are you lovebirds going to do today?
Oh, I have a million things to do. Have to shampoo my hair and sew on some buttons for Bronco. And then I have to go over and keep an eye on the painters.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and I'm going to work right after breakfast. If you're going to make money, you got to go out and hit the ball.
Yes, sir, that's the spirit.
Will you pass the bacon again, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yeah, bacon.
Thanks.
Heavy eater. How are things going down at the real estate office?
Tell him your plan, darling.
Yes, what is your plan, darling? I mean... Bronco.
Hey, Bronco, why don't you go to Idaho and dig potatoes?
Who, me?
Sure, I heard there's big dough in potatoes.
Leroy.
Okay.
Well, I've got big plans, Mr. Gildersleeve, because I have the most wonderful wife in the world and two wonderful children.
Isn't he wonderful, Unky?
Oh, yes. What's this wonderful plan?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I have a briefcase.
You have?
And in it, there's a real estate license.
Unky, he's going to sell real estate on his own.
Going in business for yourself, huh? Well, I admire your spunk, Bronco. Not wanting to work for somebody else.
Well, spunk is what I've got plenty of. Spunk and drive.
And ability.
And ability.
Yeah, but, Bronco, don't you think real estate is a little crowded?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, the way I see it, the whole world is waiting to be sold.
Oh?
Yeah, there's always room at the top.
What are you going to sell, the North Pole?
Leroy, please. Don't snipe at a young man starting his career.
That's all right, Mr. Gildersleeve. Nothing can stop me. I'm starting out to ring doorbells right after breakfast. More bacon, Marge?
Oh, there isn't any more, dear.
Oh. Well, I'm starting right now. Goodbye, honey.
Goodbye. Now, be sure to wear your coat. It might rain.
That boy doesn't need a coat. He's a ball of fire. Yes?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bullard. I'm Bronco Thompson, Mr. Gildersleeve's son-in-law.
Yes, yes, I know. You seem nervous, lad.
Well, you're my first customer.
I am?
Mr. Bullard, I'm in the real estate business. Can I list your house for sale?
Young man, this house is not for sale.
Oh, well, I thought I'd ask you first. I'm starting at the bottom, you know.
Yes, of course.
Well, good day, Mr. Bullard. I'll try some of the other neighbors.
Yeah, that's a good... Oh, Thompson.
Yes, sir?
Now, I just had a thought. Has Gildersleeve, by any chance, listed his house for sale?
No, sir. No, not that I know of.
Thompson, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a listing on mine if you'll promise to get a listing on Gildersleeve's house. Fair enough?
Well, yes, sir.
Oh, very good. Come into my study, young man.
Come into the...
Let's get the dining room table cleared off, Bertie. I'm going to do a little work at home this morning.
Yes, sir.
No point in going to a stuffy office when a man's got a comfortable home.
No, sir. You want me to leave the water pitcher and the glass on the table?
Yeah, I guess you might as well, Bertie. Warm day.
Yes. How about the bread and butter and jam? You might want something to nibble on while you're working.
Yeah, that strawberry jam is pretty good. All right, Bertie, you can leave it.
You want some coffee to go with the bread and jam?
Bertie, please. The reason I wanted the dining room table was to... Is the coffee good and hot?
Yes, sir.
Well, a man has to keep up his strength if he's going to work.
I'll put the coffee on.
Yeah, close the kitchen door, Bertie. I don't want to be disturbed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Where will I start? What is it now, Bertie?
There's a young man to see you. He says he's selling real estate.
Bertie, I don't want any salesman in my hair.
Well, this one's going to be in your hair for quite a while. He's your son-in-law.
Bronco? Oh, send him in.
I am in, Mr. Gildersleeve.
So I see. Well, how's business, Bronco?
Oh, great. Just dandy. And I want to talk to you about something.
Oh?
Yeah, I want to list your house for sale.
My house?
I have a listing blank here, Mr. Gildersleeve, and if you'll just fill in a few details here and sign on the dotted
Bronco,
line, I'm
wait.
Sure that I can...
Wait, fill... Bronco, I don't want to sell my house. Put the top back in your fountain pen.
Well, I've learned an important thing about the real estate business. You can't sell real estate without listings.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But why don't we start with somebody outside the family?
Oh, I have. I just listed Mr. Bullard's house.
Bullard gave you a listing on his house?
Yes, sir. He said he liked to help a young man get started.
Yeah, that Bullard. Trying to show me up before my own son-in-law. Let me see his listing, Bronco.
No, there it is in black and white.
His house isn't worth that much. He marked up the price. He knows it won't sell.
Oh, wasn't it nice of Mr. Bullard to give me the listing?
Well, he's no nicer than I am. Where's that dotted line? Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I thought I'd drop in and have lunch with you.
On the house?
No, Peavy. Have I ever asked you for a free lunch? We're good friends.
Good friends are the kind that eat a lot of free lunch.
Oh, my goodness. Let me see the menu, Peavy.
Very well. I recommend the cold salami sandwich.
Well, I don't know. I think I like this roast beef.
Now, if you're hungry, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'd take the salami.
Why?
I don't have any roast beef.
All right, Peavy, give me a ham sandwich.
I'd still take the salami.
No ham, huh, Peavy?
No.
Yes. Yes, Peavy, I like a warm lunch. Don't you have something hot?
Well, I can heat the salami.
See? Give it to me cold.
Very well. I hear Marjorie and Bronco are staying with you for a few days.
Yeah, a lot of excitement. They're painting the house, and Bronco's going into the real estate business for himself.
Yes, I know. Here's your salami, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, thanks. Peavy, don't tell me Bronco was drumming up business in here.
Well, he did want me to list the pharmacy for sale.
Yeah, that's Bronco, all right. Fast worker.
I told him I'd have to talk it over with Mrs. Peavy.
Peavy, you didn't have to do that. Why didn't you just tell him no?
Well, talking it over with Mrs. Peavy is telling him no.
Well, I don't want to sell my house either, but I gave him a listing on it. I just thought I'd encourage the boy. Of course, I put the price up pretty high. He'll never sell it, but if he has a listing for me, it might help him get other business.
Yes, it might.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Bronco.
I've been looking all over for you. I've sold your house.
Well, that certainly sold my house.
My.
Yeah, here's a cashier's check for the down payment.
Bronco, you can't sell my house right out from under me. Kenny Peavy.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, my goodness.
To encourage his son-in-law in the real estate business, the great man listed his house for sale. He didn't think it would move at such a fancy price, but was he ever surprised?
I listed it in good faith, Margie, but I had no idea he'd sell it.
Isn't Bronco a wonderful salesman, Unky?
Well, he's a salesman. He won't even tell me who's bought the place.
The buyer wants to remain anonymous. Besides, what do you care? You're getting twice what the house is worth. And think of the big commission Bronco's making.
Well, I'm glad for that. But...
Hey, Unc!
What is it, Leroy?
How much money do I get for my treehouse out of this deal?
That wasn't included in the deal, Leroy. Besides, we may have to live in it.
Oh, Unky, for the money Bronco's getting, well, you can buy an even larger house.
Yeah. How about a private room and bath for my pet turtle?
Yofer. Leroy, this is a serious matter. And I'd back out of the deal if it was anybody else but Bronco.
Yeah, and get sued.
Yeah. I guess the buyer could take action.
Miss Gill, please.
Yes, Bertie?
When are we going to start looking at houses?
Oh, I don't know, Bertie. Let's not rush this thing.
No, sir. But when we do, let's find a kitchen that's all automatic.
All automatic?
Yes, sir. The only thing automatic about the kitchen we got is Bertie. Miss Gilsey, when are we going to move?
Yeah, I don't know, Bertie. I don't even know who Bronco sold the house to.
Oh, that Mr. Bronco. What a salesman. He sells so fast you don't even know who bought.
Yeah, all right, Bertie.
He's a natural-born salesman.
No, Bertie.
Yes, he goes right out the first day and starts selling. That's a natural-born salesman.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
Miss Gilsey, you know what your son-in-law is.
Yes, Bertie.
That's right. He's a natural-born salesman.
How did I get into this? How do I get out of it?
Hey, Unc, where are you going?
I don't know, my boy. Right now, I'm going around in circles.
Looking for another house?
No, Leroy. I'm trying to figure out how to keep the one we've got. We don't want to sell that place. That's our home.
Yeah, I guess it'd be pretty rough living in another house.
Certainly it would.
How could we get in when you forgot the key? We'd have to punch new holes in the screens.
Now, Leroy, there's only one in the service porch.
Gosh, I might have to go to a new school where the teachers wouldn't take pity on me. I'll get worse grades than I do now.
That's hardly possible, Leroy.
And what if my turtle doesn't like the new house? He may keep coming back like a cat.
A homing turtle.
I'd take him months to make the trip.
Well, don't you worry about it, Leroy. We're not going to move. I hope. If I could just find out who bought the place.
Maybe you need a lawyer, Unc. Why don't you see Judge Hooker?
Leroy, the judge doesn't know anything about real estate.
Sure he does. He was standing in front of Peavy's drugstore this morning talking to Mr. Bullard about real estate.
Bullard?
Sure. I was sitting by the newsstand reading the comic books, and I heard Judge Hooker say, real estate.
Say, Hooker is Bullard's attorney. And if Bullard were... Right, George, I'm going over to Hooker's.
What's the matter, Unc?
I smell a mouse, my boy. And there's an old cat saying, when you smell a mouse, head for the mouse hole. Yeah, I have a sneaking hunch the judge knows something about this deal. I'm sure he does. Well, confound it, I'll get the truth out of him if I have to twist the old ghost's whiskers. Oop, there he is, going into his house. Judge! Horace! The old rascal sees me. He's trying to get into the house. Now I know something's up. Horace, you come here! Oh, look at him run. Horace! One more grab and I've got him.
Let go of my coattails.
Not by the hair of your chinny-chin-chin, you old goat. I want to talk to you, Judge.
Not now, Gildy. I'm very busy, and it's time for my Kalak water.
Well, your Kalak water can wait. I want you to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth.
But, Gildy...
I listed my house for sale with Bronco, only as a gesture to encourage the boy. And somebody pulled a sneaky trick on me and bought it. Do you know anything about it, Horace?
That's a leading question.
Judge, were you or were you not talking to Rumps and Bullard in front of Peavy's drugstore this morning?
Let me see. Peavy's drugstore.
Answer yes or no, Judge.
Well, I bought a package of soda mints, and Peavy gave me a glass of water.
Oh, never mind. What about Bullard?
Oh, he's fine.
Judge, look here. A cashier's check. Deposit on my house. Now, who purchased this check?
I can't tell you, Gildy. I don't have my glasses.
The name isn't on it. Have you ever seen the check before?
Me?
Oh, my goodness. Now, look, Horace. You're supposed to be an old friend of mine. You want to see me lose my house? You want to see it sold right out from under my little family?
No, Gildy, but...
Besides, you're my attorney.
I know, Gildy, but I'm Rumson Bullard's attorney, too, and he pays me.
Oh, so it is Bullard who's buying the house.
I didn't say that, Gildy. It isn't ethical for an attorney to talk about his client's affairs.
But it is Bullard.
I didn't say it was, and I didn't say it wasn't.
Well, you didn't say it wasn't.
I didn't say it was.
Well, was it or wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it wasn't.
You said it, Judge. It was.
Now, Gildy.
I did it. I set a trap for a mouse and caught an old goat.
Hello, Gildersleeve.
Well, Mr. Bullard.
I must remember to have that doorbell changed. I don't care for it.
What's this?
Oh, I forgot to mention, Gildersleeve, I bought your house.
You did? Bullard, how could you have done such a thing?
I have been waiting for an opportunity to remove you from the neighborhood, Gildersleeve. You and your burning tires. How happy I'm going to be when you're gone.
But where will I go?
How about Canada?
No, Bullard. You wouldn't take advantage of an old neighbor. An old friend.
An old neighbor, no. An old friend, no. You, Gildersleeve, yes. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to come in and look over the house.
Well, I can't stop you. It's your house.
How true, how true. Now, let's see. What room is this, Gildersleeve?
Willard, you know the rooms. You've been in the house before.
I know. But I'd like to hear you tell me about it.
Please, old neighbor, have mercy on me.
Tell me about the rooms, Gildersleeve.
You're a hard man, Bullard.
Thank you, thank you. Proceed, Gildersleeve.
Well, this is the living room.
Oh, no.
You better watch it.
What was that, Gildersleeve?
Nothing, nothing.
I assume there are other rooms in the house?
Oh, yes. We have a kitchen.
Well, what a pleasant surprise.
Yes, yes.
From the fumes which are constantly drifting across the street, I thought you did all your cooking over the incinerator. That, I presume, is the dining room, right?
Yes, that's the dining room.
You eat in there?
Yes.
Standing up?
No, it's quite large when you're in it.
I doubt if it would seem large when you're in it.
Bullard, have a heart. Give me a chance. Call off the deal.
Oh, nothing doing. I have waited years for this. On the day you move, I'm going to sit across the street on my veranda and cheer each passing piece of furniture. It'll be a day of song and festivity. I shall adorn my cornices with bunting.
All right, Bullard. I'm licked. But how did you do it?
Well, it was quite simple, really.
It was?
Yes, yes. I induced young Thompson to talk you into listing your house for sale by giving him a listing on mine. And when he came back with your listing, I gave him a cashier's check immediately.
Is that how you did it?
Yes, 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 indeed. Your experience to the contrary, Gildersleeve, it requires brains to get along in the world.
Well, by George, Bullard, I have to hand it to you. You're clever.
Yes, yes, that's quite true, quite true. And as I have so often said, Gildersleeve, the day would come when I would have the last laugh. This is the day.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Bronco.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Bullard. I've been looking all over for you.
Ha-ha, what an ambitious young man. What is it, my boy?
I've just sold your house.
Oh, fine. What? My house?
Well, Bullard, aren't you lucky?
Oh, no, no, not my house. My boy. No, you can't. You can't.
You signed a listing, Mr. Bullard, and I have a cashier's check for the deposit.
No, no!
Here it is. The cashier's check you gave me for Mr. Gildersleeve. He's using it as a deposit to buy your house.
Oh, my own check. Gildersleeve!
Yeah, I've got him trapped. As you said, Bullard, this is the day for the last laugh. Ah, 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 ah.
Just a minute, Gildersleeve.
We've got him where we want him, Bronco.
Yeah, okay. But Mr. Gildersleeve...
Hey, what's going on in here?
What's all the racket, Unky?
Yeah, nothing at all, children. We've just bought Mr. Bullard's house.
Oh, no, you haven't. Now, we'll call off both deals and just forget the whole thing.
But what about my commission? I sold two houses.
Well, Bullard, if you want to keep your house, you pay commission on both houses.
Well, both houses? Oh, no, I'll only pay commission on one.
It's a deal. You pay Bronco the commission on yours, and I'll pay it on mine. He can take mine out in bacon and eggs.
Did Mr. Bronco sell a house?
He sold two houses, Bertie.
Ain't that grand? Mr. Gildersleeve, you know what Mr. Bronco is?
Yes, Bertie.
He's a natural born salesman.
Bertie, show Mr. Bullard the back door. Leroy, go out in the backyard and burn the tire.
Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Jim Backus, Dick Crenna, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
The Great Gildersleeve, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 30th, 1952, on NBC. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.